Fine.
Thank you, sir. Next item on the agenda, Mr. Grab.
In keeping with regulatory streamlining.
And how I love that.
The next one is basically just to ask the commission to repeal the former private peer guidance criteria that you adopted in 2003. And the main reason is in 2003, the law was 250 square foot. We were dealing with 250 to 500 square foot. The law now exempts 450. We also said we weren't going to consider finger piers. It was unaddressed in the code itself. A 4 foot code now explicitly has said finger piers can be 5 foot. There's really no need for the peer guidance criteria, and I believe it will do nothing but cause confusion if the public goes to the website, pulls that up, because the law has changed as of July 1st.
So staff is requesting repeal of the commission's private peer guidance criteria given recent code changes.
Correct. Move so.
Motion made by Mr. Schick. Second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Robbins. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Grab.
Disagree with you.
Next item is public comment section. Anyone from the public wish to comment? Sir, come forward. Good to have you here all day long.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner.
I think we're not going to be taking any action. We're one short, I think, of a quorum. But if you would like,
we got five.
Long day. Go ahead, sir.
All right.
They didn't say I had to count to get the job.
I prefer a total audience, but that's okay.
I understand, sir.
My name is Ellis James. I'm from Norfolk. I would like to call to your attention two things that I think are extremely important.
Yes, sir.
If the first issue of Rivers and Coast is any indication of the excellence of information that we're going to receive, I'm very impressed. I hope that each one of you have seen this. If you have not, I would urge you to take advantage of this. It is very well laid out. It deals with all of the issues that we all deal with, and especially the commission deals with. And I'm especially interested in the fact that this document is probably the kind of thing that ought to be mailed to every wetlands board in the Commonwealth. There are people, and I do sit in on other meetings, especially wetlands board meetings, and there are people who obviously are not fully apprised of all of the critical issues that you gentlemen deal with here. Now, let me call one other thing to your attention. You've heard an excellent discussion today about oyster grounds and oystering and those issues. Recently, it's come to my attention that there may be a fairly significant supply of Virginia's native oysters in the Nansemond River. If that is an accurate piece of information, I am somewhat appalled by the noise that's being made about tearing down the King Highway Bridge right at that critical location. I would think that the commission would certainly be quite concerned, because any kind of project such as disassembling that bridge, given the current practices of subcontracting, and I will cite my own city of Norfolk, where we've had some severe problems. Virginia Beach has had problems there, and you gentlemen know here the kinds of problems that have arisen as a result of rather slipshod adherence to both regulations as well as these practices. I would be quite concerned that the potential destruction of a significant area that fortunately has native species still in existence and apparently doing well, that we would want to try to prevent any kind of severe damage in that situation. And I just wanted to call that to your attention, because I think it's going to be a very critical issue. And I would hope that the commission if it's within your jurisdiction, we'll pay close attention to that.
Your point's well made. We may receive a request to comment on the, when the demolition time of that bridge comes into play, and we'll consider your comments part of that.
Thank you, Mr. Bowman.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day. Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, my name is Major William H. Bannon, USA retired.
Good to have you, Major.
I am coming here to ask the commission's assistance in trying to resolve a regulatory problem in reference to crab pots. I live on a creek, and I also have an oyster ground on that creek. And annually, the first couple of weeks of crabbing season, crabbers will come in, put three or four lines in the creek, and then again, toward the end of the season, they'll come back and do the same thing. However, this year, I noted that there were three lines in the creek, approximately 60 pots, that seemed not to have been touched for the last month and a half. I went out and checked a couple of the pots to see if they actually had bait in them, and they didn't. One pot had four croakers and three...
Spot?
No, not spot.
Catfish?
The ones that's... You've got two seasons. The name's...
Striped bass? Rockfish.
Bass. In the crab pot.
Which creek do you live on, sir?
Doe Creek.
Doe Creek. I'm not familiar. Which locality?
Accomack County.
Okay.
Between Deep Creek on the south and Hunting Creek on the north. And I called law enforcement.
Right.
And they said, well, we should be able to get a summons to get those out of there, et cetera, et cetera. I waited, and they called me back a couple of days later and said, no, we know who the pots belong to because of the numbers on the floats. But we've researched the laws and the regulations, and there's nothing that requires them to touch those crab pots from the beginning of the season until the end of the season. They can sit there all year or during the whole season and never be touched. And it's my personal opinion and my wife's opinion, and I think probably anybody in this room's opinion, that if you don't watch your crab pots and take care of them, you're going to kill fish, you're going to kill crabs, and you're also, in the case of these Peter pots, which aren't even supposed to be in the water now, according to law enforcement, in the case of these Peter pots, they don't have the coating on them to keep them from rusting.
Right.
Therefore, these Peter pots are currently rusting in my creek, or the Commonwealth's creek, but rusting on my rented oyster grounds, which is polluting the water. And I was advised by law enforcement to come down here and raise this to the commission in the hopes of trying to get some type of regulatory constraints on the use of the, or leaving crab pots unattended during the whole season or whatever.
Well, Major, your comments are timely, and we're in the process of looking at a study that's been conducted by Jack Vims in an association with maritime debris. We're looking at that now. We're looking at crab pots specifically, and Jack, we may want to look at regulation when it comes time to require the fishing of them. I know we do on other gear, some other gear at times, but we never have done that. A phenomenon is occurring as far as crab pots are concerned that was brought to my attention. It's been probably a month or so ago. It used to be that the crabbers would pull the crab pots up, re-zinc them, clean them or whatever. It's gotten to the point where zinc has gotten so expensive, it's like quadrupled is what I'm being told, that it's becoming cost beneficial almost to trash the crab pot versus bringing it up, cleaning it, spending the effort to do that and putting new zincs in it. So your point is well made, and I'm sure we'll be looking at that from a regulatory perspective when next crabbing season comes, because we have a symposium that I think Mr. Travelstead and I are due to go to on the 31st of August in Yorktown that will address maritime debris. So your point is well made, and we'll consider that.
I know what they've done in the past years is during the time during the season when they aren't allowed to have them in the water, they just pull them out and put them up on the marsh.
Let them dry out and then hose them off.
Yeah, right. And then
power wash them.
Bring them back in off the marsh and do them again and then take them home at the end of the season.
They always have to put the zincs in them. If not, the electrolysis weed them up. The zinc has gotten. So, but
When I went out last week to pull the pots before coming down here, I pulled up five pots, and of the five pots, four of them are rotted.
Okay.
And one of them, the only thing holding that steel bar around the bottom to the line was the rubber clip to hold the thing together.
Major, thank you for bringing that to attention. We appreciate that, sir.
Thank you.
Have a good day. Anyone else? Public comments? Next item on the agenda is Beta Report Harvest pertaining to commercial fishing and mandatory harvest reporting. Who's handling that? Hello, Kelly.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to recuse myself on this item.
Let the record reflect Mr. Robbins is recusing himself. Kelly, as I understand in speaking with your supervisors, that this these are all similarly situated individuals.
Yes.
Is it a way that we can take them kind of all together and then handle it that way? Or?
Yes, I was actually going to ask that after I gave just the summary of what the situation was.
That would be fine. Thank you, ma'am. Proceed.
Excellent. All right. We're here to discuss in regards to Regulation 4 VAC 20-610-6.